And if you would turn to page 77 of your liturgy book, we'll be speaking about the epistle reading that was read today. It's actually a continuation of last week's epistle reading. Obviously, it's one letter divided up into sections to be read, and the actual issue that Paul is addressing is a schism in the church, schisms that were happening, breakups in the church of the Corinthians. Some people were saying, well, you know, I was baptized by Peter, and I was baptized by Paul, and someone says, well, I mean, I got it from somebody else. We don't really have that today. It's a little bit hard to relate to, although, you know, some people could say, well, my spiritual father is Father so-and-so, or, you know, I'm Greek. No, I'm Bulgarian. I'm Antioch. You know, there's things, okay? And so Paul is going to talk about how bad it is for schisms and separations to happen in the church. We could discuss that, but I want to actually focus on something he says in today's epistle. I mean, there's always so much, you know, that we can talk in so little time. So go on page 77. He says the foundation that was, well, first of all, he's using a lot of metaphors, and he's saying, you are a plant, you are the ground, you are God's, he said, you are God's building, and you are God's field, you know. So depending on which metaphor you want to use, let's focus on the building one now. Just, you know. So remember that the Lord said to Peter, you know, he said, who do you think I am? And Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, etc. And he said, well, upon this rock, meaning upon the rock of his confession and what he said, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and everything that goes with that is the foundation of the church, he would found his church on that. Okay, so that is the foundation, that confession of faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and all the theology and all the stuff that derives from that. St. Paul says, that's the preaching I made, that's the foundation that was made. And if anybody, you know, wants to build on that foundation, then that's what we're going to talk about. So other preachers, you know, I mean, somebody lays the foundation. It's like you learned your faith from somebody, but then someone else came along and taught you more, and then someone else comes along and gives you encouragement in the spiritual life and stuff. So people are, other people planted, other people watered, other people are going to do. So he's saying, anyone who builds on that foundation should be careful that they use, you know, as he says, gold, silver, and precious stones. And that would be the correct teachings, you know, of the church. There's another way to look at it where he's talking about if anyone, now into all of us, not to teachers, but to every Christian, he's saying anyone, okay, once you've believed, accepted, and made that confession of faith, Jesus Christ is the Son of God, baptized, you know, become incorporated into the body of the church, and then it's our task to build on that foundation with gold, silver, and precious stones, which is a metaphor for the virtues of thought, deed, and work, thought, word, and act. Or he says, if you build on that with those things, good. Or maybe you're building on that with the sins and the vices, which would be the hay, the grass, the other three things there. He says straw, wood, hay, and straw. And the difference is that everything's going to be tested by fire on the day, which has conveniently been capitalized here. We know that the Gospels didn't use capital letters. They didn't have, or they were all capital letters. But anyway, so here, the day, meaning the day of judgment, where there'll be the river of fire, and everything will be tested in the fire or the grace of God. And those things that have, you know, worth and value, the virtues that are accomplished in God, will be purified and will remain, much like gold, silver, and stuff are purified in the fire. And the sins will be burnt up, like hay, wood, and straw. So sin will be destroyed. And so what I want to focus on is what's going to happen to us, you know. And it's pretty clear here, and we've said this another time about salvation, but it says, if the work which any man has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. Judgment day, right? You know, everything will be balanced. What comes out, we get a reward. If any man's work is burned up, meaning the sins, the passions, the unrepented things, and if they overwhelm any, who knows how that's going to be judged. He will suffer loss. In other words, all his works, sinful works, will be gone. Nothing will be left. Though he himself, he or she themselves, will be saved, but only as through fire. And so I've said before that salvation doesn't necessarily mean only life with God, you know, in heaven. We think that. We say salvation. That's the preaching of the church. Well, salvation has a, you know, a more profound meaning. Salvation is the salvation of the human person. Christ went down with his soul into Hades, broke whatever that means, whatever he did down there, you know, and the sort of domination and dominion that the evil spirits had on the souls and no longer a mandatory. And he reunited his soul with his body and resurrected as a kind of prelude of what's going to happen at the resurrection for us, that the true human being is not just his soul or her soul, and certainly not just the body, but God made us body and soul. So salvation is the undoing of that separation, which we call death. Okay, so when that happens, that's salvation. So salvation for the person who built on the foundation of the confession of Christ with lasting things, meaning the virtues and the keeping of the commandments, you know, to whatever degree they do, that will last and that will shine, and that's their salvation will be glorious. And people like me who build on that foundation with wood, straw, and hay, the sins and the passions and unrepented bad things, those things will be burnt up. I'll be saved. In other words, my soul and body will be together, but as if through fire, meaning that now and forever at that point, I will be burning in fire, saved, but burning through fire. That's kind of what that means. So, you know, we should take that as encouragement, you know, as a good promise. It's just, you know, let's just behave. Let's just put all that stuff, you know, if we don't have it, don't get it. And if you have it, put it away and go, you know, let's, anyway, my job is not to exhort you, just to, you know, instruct you. But as a kind of a last sort of thing here, then he says, you are, meaning us individually and us as a church, he says, do you not know that you are God's temple? And you know, we say, you know, the Holy Spirit dwells in us as individuals, if we are worthy, and certainly, you know, as the body of Christ. And anybody who either damages, because the word in Greek is phthiti, ostis phthiti, whoever corrupts, damages, destroys the temple of God, meaning either the church, destroying it or damaging it through false teachings or leading people astray or immorality in the church, or whoever does that to themselves, you know, through damaging their body or damaging their soul or both through the vices and the sins, since we have agreed through our baptism and through our chrismation and through accepting to be Orthodox Christians, we agreed to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. If we damage that, Paul says, God will get you. You know, God will damage you. He says the same word. If you damage, corrupt, destroy the temple of God, that same word is used. God will do that to you. So let's not, you know, let's not destroy. Let's not damage. Let's build with good things the virtues of thought, word, and deed. Come on, it's not that hard. We can do it. So let's stand and pray now.